I was combing through air checks of radio stations, as one does, and checking to see if people had uploaded other air checks to the Internet Archive. And in doing so, I discovered a cache of one of those kinds of collections that 5 minutes before you could never think you'd want, and 5 minutes after you couldn't ever imagine a world that didn't have it. Welcome to the world of 1960s airplane easy listening. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Years ago now, I was alerted to a Google Drive that had something called the Mike Schweitzer Air Check Collection. Mike was a radio engineer who had passed away, but before doing so, had gathered up some of his most precious radio recordings. These were passed between engineers and collectors and represented little core samples of what radio had been like over the last 30 years. They're called air checks because radio staff will record some amount of their radio performances so that they have them for resumes and review and sharing with others. Usually they're recorded within the studio so that radio managers can attest whether or not something happened, but often they can be done right over the air, taking whatever is broadcasted and recording it as well. This inspired me to make a Mike Schweitzer collection, which contained a whole cabinet of audio curiosities. David Letterman in his college radio days, Wolfman Jack broadcasting both in Mexico and in later syndicated shows from those original Mexican broadcasts. Moments when radio stations had to deal with tragedy while also playing all of the hits. I put this collection up and realized maybe people had put other similar things on the Internet Archive, and that's when I found out that the Internet Archive had tens of thousands of recorded radio programs, both individual shows as well as general recordings that went on for hours and hours and stretched back decades. In many cases, people would choose special days to record, the day that a radio station changed formats or the goodbye of a famous DJ as they retired. In some cases, people do things like sweep through an entire radio dial, moving every 4 or 5 minutes so that you got a taste of what was on the dial that day. Other people would record all the shows done by a DJ or a talk show host, put them together into one item, and then upload them as one singular object. So that's when the Air Checks collection at the archive swelled to what represents years of audio. Trying to understand how different people classify some sort of family of material is a lot of my job. I can search for the word air check and get a whole bunch of matches, and then I can say anytime that person uploads something that says air check, put it in the collection. That solves a lot of problems. But then other people don't know about this code. They think of it as radio recordings or any of a number of other names that don't match the word air check. Without that magic word, it's just a matter of me doing various searches. Such it was that I was looking up different radio call signs, and one of them triggered off an awareness of an entire collection that had been uploaded over months. That is, in my assessment, one of the most interesting and precious collections to go through the archive. But it also brings up other issues of preservation and archiving. So, here we are, the Chris Cromwell reel-to-reel tapes. They're the work of Mr. Cromwell and a whole range of collaborators taking original audio reel-to-reel tapes, baking them, digitizing them, and then putting them on the archive. Baking involves actual baking of magnetic tapes to prevent them from shedding magnetic material as they turn around in the player. It's something you just have to do with decades-old material so that you have something at the end. Placed among these dozens and dozens of digitized reel-to-reel tapes, Mr. Cromwell had created WJST, the Jet Set Collection. And these reel-to-reel tapes have a huge variance in their material. Some of them are complete commercial products, while others represent personal projects done by enthusiasts 50 or 60 years ago. But in the Cromwell Collection is a set of materials that he calls WJST, which is not a call sign. They are recordings of airline, easy listening, pop, and jazz shows that were broadcast through the seats of commercial air flight throughout the 1960s. If you've traveled on a plane anywhere in the last few decades, you know that in some way entertainment is available. Usually it's either a movie being shown to a group or televisions on the back of a seat. But on most commercial flights, no matter what, there has been some way to plug in either provided headphones or your own and listen to music for the whole trip. Either using that screen on the back of a seat or flipping a dial on your armrest, you were able to hear hours of music to calm you, to make it easier for you to fly, especially in a stressful situation. Music that was meant to provide you a sense of calm, an elegant feel of class in the air. Specifically, Cromwell has been doing an excellent job of bringing back the reel-to-reels that played with American Airlines in the 1960s. 2 to 3 solid hours of music, constructed from the Muzak archives and other sources. Instrumental and vocal work that played on a reel-to-reel that then pumped it to tiny speakers on the armrests of these seats, with 2 holes, one for left and one for right, and then special headphones that the staff would hand out that were basically rubber tubes, a sort of musical stethoscope that pumped the music into your ears. I took my first flights in the early 1980s, and in some planes, this was still in effect that late. We wouldn't see regular electronic compatible headphones for some time to come. The set of opportunities that had to fall into place for a Cromwell collection on the Internet Archive is astounding when I think about it. First, these reel-to-reels were made, put on planes, and used until they weren't of any use anymore. After that, somebody had to salvage them, to store them, to put them somewhere, holding them until whatever time they were sold. Maybe they were taken home by an engineer, or versions of them were kept by a company to show other potential customers what work they could do. These reel-to-reels then fell into the possession of collectors, who might hold them again for decades without any clear place to put them. Eventually, as we move into digitizing music, creating waves and MP3s that could be replayed on machines and later phones, we see people digitizing and ripping the easy stuff, the commercially available CDs, the home creations and recordings. But this sort of industrial music project just has no home, no obvious place, until something like the Internet Archive shows up. A location that's agnostic, neutral about the material, and considers hours and hours and hours of music to be well within their mission, well within their capability. Then you have somebody who carefully bakes the tapes, digitizes them, and puts them on the archive. So many places it could go wrong, so many turns into oblivion. And yet here we are. When I found these tapes, they were just in the general upload section. They didn't have a special area to go to. They weren't designated as a set of something special. That was my part of the mix, my extraordinarily tiny contribution to this audio miracle. And after this collection was created on the archive, I mentioned it to the public, and that's when the fire really caught on. It shouldn't be a surprise to hear how many enthusiasts there are for 1960s and 1970s air travel, for the style, the approach, the advertising, and the sounds. For them, this audio deluge was both unexpected and completely welcome. Going from complete unawareness that such a collection could exist to having it in your hands is that instantaneous pleasure and delight that I just feel so proud to be a part of. Where we stand now is a 60-year arc, a story of coming up with a solution for air travel's stress and boredom, solving it, maintaining a record of that solution, and then carrying it to the modern day, where no matter where you are, on ground or sea, or even the air again, this music, this unique window into a time past, can fly once more. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Josiah Lusher, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Matt Reynolds, Sean Kelly, John Sturm, Eric Vitello, Trixie the Cat, Dileep Reddy, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. One interesting aspect to WJST is that the recordings contain a 1 or 2 minute explanation of the process of rescuing these tapes, along with an urge to visit an app. That is, Cromwell has decided to turn all of this item into a product. It's a product that you can install on your phone and listen to this music that has been set up around the idea of a fictional airline. Normally, I would draw away from such a crass approach. But after a bit of thought, I think I can live with it. This is somebody doing work that nobody knew needed to be done and nobody had the will to do. And here's somebody who has found a way to eke out just enough income to fund buying more reel-to-reels and spending the hours getting this process right. Plus, it's possible to listen to all of this on the Internet Archive, go through the hours, and never have to spend anything. It's a tough decision trying to think about the good or bad of the commercial aspect of materials that are being rescued. But a simple fact is that money is part of the process, whether we want to admit it or not. Whether we want to talk about the hours that could be spent doing a project, and whether or not somebody needs some sort of financial motivation doing work that may or may not ever come to any other fruition. The music isn't interrupted by ads. A simple matter of skipping ahead from the beginning, and you'll never hear about an app again. Call it a compromise, call it a difficult or easy decision. It's one I can live with.